Welcome to Eat, Capture, Share, the podcast for food bloggers and food photographers who want to earn an income doing what they love. My name is Kimberly. I'm your host. Episode 128. Welcome back, everybody, to the Eat, Capture, Share podcast. My name is Kimberly Espinel. I'm a food photographer, food photography teacher. I'm the author of the Amazon bestselling book, Creative Food Photography, and a creative business mentor for food photographers, food bloggers, and food content creators just like you. Before I tell you a little bit more about today's podcast episode, I wanted to say a huge thank you to everybody who reached out following the last podcast episode that I did together with Allison. Based on your DMs and emails and messages, it really struck a chord. So that, you know, fills my heart to think that it was an episode that was helpful somehow. And thank you to everybody who reached out and everybody who listened and shared the podcast and so on. In that podcast episode, Allison talks about the importance of meeting in real life and having real life connections. And as I couldn't agree with her more, I have arranged an in-person workshop together with Sylvia, where we will be focusing on reel creation specifically. So we'll be talking about pacing and transitions and how to use your phone as well as your camera to tell compelling food stories. It is taking place here in London on the 22nd and 23rd of March. And if you'd like to find out more, be sure to head to the show notes where you'll find a link to all the information that you need, and or drop me a DM at kimberly@thelittleplantation.co.uk. Apart from that workshop in March, I will also be teaching a food styling course in Paris, and I will share a little bit more about that in today's podcast episode, where I'm speaking with Melanie and Maciel all about what it takes to set up an in-person event. So if you're at a point in your business where you've started getting some food photography clients, or maybe you've started doing some paid influencer work and you want to expand your business, you want to create new revenue streams, one way of doing that is doing in-person workshop retreats, those kind of things, right? And the question is, how do you do that? What do you need to think about? What do you need to consider? That's what we're going to be discussing today in this podcast episode. And without further ado, here are Maciel and Melanie. Maciel and Melanie, thank you so much for agreeing to be on the Eat, Capture, Share podcast. I'm really excited about our kind of impromptu chat and sharing that with our listeners. But for anyone tuning in who doesn't know you, who's never come across your work, please do introduce yourself.
Hi, Kimberly.
Thank you so much, Kimberly.
Thank you so much, Kimberly, for having us here on your podcast. I'm Melanie Roussel. I'm a food stylist and food photographer based in Paris, France, and also a food photography teacher.
And I am Maciel Apchi, a food stylist and a food photographer based in Paris too, just like Melanie. And I'm also an innovation project manager recently in a water company. I'm also the co-organizer of the Food Photography Summit with Melanie.
Now, I know you, Maciel, because you were one of my kind of first, you know, students of my online course. That's how we really kind of met. And then, of course, you did my Eat, Capture, Share challenge and you won it. And, you know, your work is really, really incredible. So I'd love to actually know from both of you how you found food photography, like what led you to jump behind the camera.
Yes, indeed, Kimberly. I'm so happy to attend your food photography workshop online and to get all the valuable information from you. I found a passion at first for pastries in 2015, just before I became a mom. And by then, I thought that it's very good to prepare the cakes, but it's better to have good pictures of the cakes. And from that moment, I started to take pictures. And later on, I followed the online food photography workshop with you in order to understand all the basics of food photography and food styling. And from 2020, I had a full-time job as a food photographer. And voila, it's been 3 years that I'm proposing my work for clients all around the world.
Amazing. And it is so gorgeous. So, you know, we'll definitely put a link to your Instagram in the show notes, because what you create is so colorful and so playful and so fun and also really highly technical. And yeah, it's been great to kind of see you take your own path in that. And it's been amazing. What about you, Melanie? How did you find food photography?
It's a little bit like Maciel. It all started with a food blog 11 years ago now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I realized pretty quickly that photography was really important on a food blog if you want to give people the envy to reproduce a recipe. The photography needs to be beautiful.
Yeah.
So that's how I've started to learn about food photography, and it became a passion. I love to cook, but now my passion is really photography, and especially
yes.
food photography. And I've started my company in 2018, when some brands started to contact me for either recipe development or only food photography.
I love it. So of course, we'll link to your Instagram too. So there's a lot of knowledge here, a lot of experience, a wealth of knowledge and experience, really. And, you know, which leads me very nicely into my next question, because from creating content and photos and so on for clients, you've now also started the food photography conference in Paris and sort of taking your knowledge and spreading it and educating others. So I'd like to know, for anybody who's tuning in, who's like, I'd love to, you know, host an in-person event. I'd love to kind of get a sense, firstly, what propelled you to do it, and then also what kind of steps you took to create an in-person event, in this case, an in-person summit. So there's two questions. I don't know, Melanie, if you want to go first.
Actually, it started with a need. At least we thought that there was something missing in France, especially there was no event like this in France, no event where food photographers can meet in person and learn from the best. And it was something we felt that was missing. So that's why we've chose to organize our own in-person summit. I think the pandemic had something to do with it also, mm-hmm. because
exactly.
We miss real life interactions.
Yeah.
It's easy to meet people on Instagram, on social media, to start to have a conversation, but it's really different in real life. You bond differently, and it's something we really wanted to create. It's a little bit selfish, because we felt that it was missing. We wanted to have an event like this for us, and we realized that we were not the only one to wish for it.
Yes.
Exactly. Just like Melanie said, it was right after the pandemic that we met Melanie and myself in Paris, and we thought together that since we are food photographers and we tend to work alone in our at home or in our studios, we felt the need to go and meet other photographers in France. And we thought that there isn't an event today to assemble and reassemble all the photographers together. So just like Melanie said, maybe it was a bit selfish from our part, but we think that today it's a necessity to all the photographers, whether in France or around the world, to meet together, to exchange information and to connect.
I love that. You know, what I'm really hearing you say is kind of twofold. One is very much a business decision in identifying that there was a gap in the market, that there was something that wasn't being offered, yet the need for it was there. And I think, you know, in terms of for anybody tuning in who's like thinking, maybe should I host a summit or a workshop or whatever, like anything in person, it's kind of firstly recognizing, you know, is somebody else already doing this? And or if they are, can I add something new? Can I have it in a different location or create it in such a way that it fills a gap, a need? And I think the second thing you're saying, so that's kind of the business side of it. And then the second thing you're saying is more the creative, inspiring part, which I 100% concur. And that is that online connections are powerful and beautiful and strong, but there's something magical about actually meeting and creating in person. And I concur with that, because, you know, I always feel that my best work I have created when I have created together with other people, be that in a collaboration, be that at a workshop, at a retreat. There's just something about, you know, that collective energy. And it sounds to me that that's the other piece for you, is that creative energy, bringing all of that together and really allowing that creativity to shine through, so to say.
Yes, totally. Exactly.
Now, the second part of the question, of course, was, where do you start? So if I wanted to, you know, start a summit or in my hometown or what have you, like, what is the first step? How do you even make it happen?
The first thing we did actually was to create an online summit. It was 2 years ago. There is an online summit, but it's in English. It's a Master of the Art of Food Photography. But for French speaking people, there were none. Really quickly after this online summit, we thought, okay, next time we have to do it in person, because it's great to learn from talented food photographers with online presentations. But having an in-person summit, it's going to be different because one, it will be possible to have practical demonstrations. And so it's different than just following a video. And two, we will have the opportunity to meet people in person and really to expand our network. So that's how it started, with a virtual summit, and pretty quickly after that, the idea to transform it in an in-person event. But to tell you the truth, we had no experience in organizing an in-person event, so it was challenging.
You know what I love? So I love that you first kind of tested the idea to see if people wanted it. Yeah. And doing it online so that you don't have the kind of big overheads that do come up when you have an in-person event. So you kind of tested it online. People loved it. And then you went and made it in person. And I'd like to know, what was the big leap kind of from a practical perspective, from moving something online, which I'm sure takes a lot of time and energy and so on, to moving it to an in-person event? Like what were the kind of, if you can maybe boil it down to three key things that you had to focus on to bring the summit to life as an in-person event?
I think, first of all, it's the planning. We had to organize all the planning and to define and determine all the speakers way ahead the summit. Mm-hmm. So first of all, we set the date. It was 18th of March, 2023. So we started working with Melanie like 6 to 7 months before, by clearly outlining our objectives of the event and showcasing the work of each speaker. Mm-hmm. We also had a sort of questionnaire that we sent to all the participants in the online version. Yeah. And we asked them, who are the speakers that you would like to meet and that you would like to attend a conference with them in 2023? So we exchanged the ideas with Melanie and we started communicating with all the potential speakers. So if I have to say again, so first of all, you have to set a date. Mm-hmm. You have to set a venue. For example, in our case, it's in Paris. You have also to define the objectives of your event. You have to identify your target audience. For example, if it's for food photographers who are beginners, who have an intermediate...
Like skills.
Skills, yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Or advanced. Mm-hmm. And if you'd like to have, for example, practical demonstrations or only theoretical presentations. So these are the first points to look at. Next, and following these points, so you have to invite the food photographers or the stylists or the industrial experts as speakers or instructors, and also ensure that they will give and provide valuable insights and tips during the event. After that, so after connecting with all the speakers and defining all the themes, we created a schedule with Melanie in order to detail all the presentations and all the main presentation during the day. Yes. Next on, we set up an online registration system in order to collect the information from all the participants and if they have any specific requests. And also, we had to connect with the catering part. We discussed with a caterer that we love, and a caterer that could propose, for example, vegan proposition, because we know that many food photographers are vegan. So there are a lot of work to do from our part, without forgetting all the promotion and marketing part that took a lot of work from our side.
Yes. I mean, that's exactly what I'm hearing you say, that it takes a lot of work, which is why maybe also, you know, it's good that you're doing this together because there's so much, you know, this is maybe not something for people to undertake on their own. I don't know, Melanie, if you wanted to add something to that.
Yes, I think the main difference between an online summit and in-person summit is also the expenses. Yeah. Because when you do an online version, and that is why we started with an online version, you don't have a lot of expenses. You need to have a website and, of course, to pay the speakers. But apart from that, you don't have to pay for location, for catering services, etc., etc. So the main difference was our expenses, and it was a little bit stressful for us too, because we had to invest a lot in this event, and we for the first in-person edition, we didn't know if we could pay our expenses. So that was the main difference. So we had to find also sponsors for the first in-person edition. We didn't have any sponsors for the online summit, but for the 2023 edition, we looked for sponsors to help us with our expenses.
Yeah.
So that's also another difference.
That really very beautifully leads into my next question, which is about money. And I guess, you know, I don't want to hear your number, so to say, but definitely from what you're describing, there's a lot of overheads that need covering. And my question would be, you've said sponsors, but also how do you price the tickets, the entries? And then finally, also, do you have a profit? Is it a money-making activity, or does the summit serve, if it isn't, does it serve your business in a different kind of way?
Being a full-time food photographer and creative business owner is stressful. There's no question about it. From liaising with clients to creating content for Instagram to answering emails, it's a lot. What's helped me stay grounded, focused, positive, and energetic has been my commitment to a solid morning routine. At the center of that routine is good hydration and a fair dose of antioxidants to see me through the day, both of which are provided by Magic Mind. Magic Mind is the world's first productivity drink made of ceremonial grade matcha, lion's mane, turmeric, and ashwagandha. In short, everything you need to show up your best at client shoots or long days of food content creation. Unlike coffee, it doesn't give you the jitters, yet still keeps me feeling focused and alert. Plus, Magic Mind tastes absolutely delicious and is insanely healthy too. If you're a listener in the US, you can find Magic Mind at Sprouts Market. Alternatively, you can order Magic Mind online and receive your delivery straight to your door. Simply use code ECS20 to receive 20% off your one-time purchase or your subscription, the latter of which offers you further savings. You can find the link to all things Magic Mind in the show notes. Again, remember to use code ECS20 to get 20% off. I've loved drinking Magic Mind, and I know you will too. Hey you, are you struggling to create engaging short form video content but feel overwhelmed and don't know where to start or how to improve the reels you're already filming? Then listen up. After months of talking about it, I am so excited to announce that our Reels course for food photographers and food content creators is ready to launch. Well, almost. If you'd like to be able to create short form video content, including engaging recipe reels or educational how-to clips, then our Reels online course for food photographers and food content creators may be for you. After having numerous content pieces go viral in 2023, I decided to pack all that I learned into a comprehensive online course where I outline exactly how to script great short form videos, how to produce that all-important hook, how to film like a pro, even if you just use your phone for content creation, and how to edit your reels to perfection. Doors to our Reels course for food photographers and food content creators will officially open at the end of January 2024. But you can join the waiting list today to ensure you hear about the course first and get the best possible introductory offer. Please head to the show notes and follow the link to add your name today. And if you're listening to this after the fact, do still follow the link, as it will take you straight to the course page where you will find lots more information. We're so excited to have you.
So for the ticket entries, usually with Melanie, we take, for example, an hour of our time in order to define the ticket fees, taking into consideration, as Melanie said, all the expenses that we have. But the challenge is we can do all the calculations that we need, but we have a sort of a question mark on the number of participants that we will have. So there is always an uncertainty concerning the sport. So for example, in the 2023 edition, our profit was very, very, very low because it was our first edition. For the second one, for the second edition 2024, we tried with Melanie to think differently. We tried to say that we are doing our best to propose a very beautiful event to all the participants and the speakers. And we would like also, as business owners today, to have a profit for ourselves for all the time that we are spending in organizing the event. But until today, as you are saying, we don't have the amount, whether we are having a profit or not from our event. We can't pronounce today about it. So whenever you want to organize an event, an in-person event, you have to take into consideration the marketing part, because without this marketing part, you can't have a successful event. It means you can't have enough participants to cover your expenses.
Our first objective, of course, is to be able to pay all of our expenses. That's the first thing. But of course, if we want to do this event, a yearly event, we need to be able to pay ourselves, because we invest a lot of time and energy, and it's taking us a lot of time. But we also have our business, our food photography business aside. So it's really something important for us to be able to have some income from it. But to be honest, we don't see it as a lucrative event. We do it because it's something important for us to have this kind of event for the food photography community. But as you know, Kimberly, it's also important to be able to have an income from it. Otherwise, we can't do it twice. Yeah. It's impossible.
Yeah. So that, you know, that leads me into the other question in terms of, apart from finances, let's just say somebody wants to run a summit, an in-person workshop, or whatever. Even if the finances don't 100% square up, is there still another benefit to you and your business in running the summit? I mean, you did it last year and the profit, you know, wasn't spectacularly groundbreaking, but you're doing it again. So there must be something that you got from it, either personally or as a business owner, that has propelled you to want to do it again.
Of course, we can't. For us, Melanie and myself, the way we organized the summit in 2023, and when the day ended, we were so happy to meet all the food photographers, all the participants coming from all around France, but even in Europe, from other countries in Europe, and even from Quebec. So for us, it was a pleasure to meet everyone. It was a pleasure to discuss with everyone, to be able to be even to learn from all the speakers. So I think it's not only about business, and it's not only about being able to finance ourselves. I think it's more about the value that we are adding to the community, the value that we are adding to all the food photographers and that we are proposing today. And for this reason, we are doing it again in 2024. Yeah. And for this reason, we wanted in 2024 to be able to have international speakers like yourself, Kimberly. So we said that in 2023, it was a first trial, we can say. In 2024, it will be our second trial. So we are still learning a lot from each time. But the amount of joy that this summit is giving us, and the amount also of visibility that this summit is giving us, is huge. So certainly we're not making a thousand of euros of profit, but we are happy to do it once again.
Yeah, like you said, Maciel, there is also an advantage for our business. It's the visibility, and also it increases our credibility among the food photographers. Maciel and I, we propose food photography courses, so it helps us also to have more students following the summit. So if someone wants to organize an in-person summit, it's something to consider. It can help you to have more visibility and to become an authority in the domain you are targeting.
Exactly.
I love that. And also the other piece that I'm hearing you say, although you didn't say it explicitly, but I'm pulling it out for the listeners, so to say, is that this is really a long-term project. So it's maybe not realistic to think that you're going to set up a summit or even, you know, a workshop, a bigger workshop or workshops over several days and from the get-go have a super profitable year, but that is, it's something that kind of builds gradually as you build momentum, as you build, you know, more people, I'm guessing on the mailing list who want to hear about it, return customers and that kind of thing, that it's really a long-term project, that if you're going to do a summit, it's something you need to commit to longer term for it to be successful. Marcel, you said one more thing that I'd like to pull out before we start bringing the episode to a close, but you talked really, and Melanie, you can answer this as well. So this is really a question directed to both of you, but you talked about the importance of marketing the event. And, you know, it's hard to say any kind of workshop or retreat, or in this case, summit that you host or anything you do, you'd need to market it to see results. I'd be curious to know if you can maybe describe three ways that you're marketing this and even the online version of it, any kind of 2-3 tactics, you know, tricks, anything that you've done that yielded really good results that you can share with the listeners.
So I can say, for example, one, and Melanie, if you want to add two more, we develop a marketing strategy by using our newsletter. We have a newsletters campaign that we start sending, for example, like 3 to 4 months before the event, isn't it, Melanie? We started this year around November to send multiple and different newsletters. But also, there's something that we love doing it with Melanie. In this 2023 edition, we created a VIP newsletter list. So in this list, there are the participants for this edition this year. So whenever we have a second edition, these VIP people have a different approach from all the other participants to the event. Sure. So we try to take care of these participants by sending us a behind the scenes of the summit way before the other from the public. We try to communicate with them more frequently, and also we try to propose a VIP fees, a VIP ticket for them. So like this, we are in contact directly with our main target audience. So we take care of them, and later on, they will participate in the event. So this is a first thing to do, for example, in your in-person events, to take care of the previous participants in the previous editions.
Yeah, I love that. Melanie, I don't know if you have anything to add.
Yes, the mailing list is really important. You probably agree with that, Kimberly.
Yes,
when you communicate through emails, it's really different from just posting something on Instagram, whether it's a story or a post. You have a better connection with your audience through emails. So to start our email list, we took advantage of our own community on our Instagram accounts. So that's how it started. Yeah. And one thing we did also to communicate on the summit was to organize lives on Instagram on the summit account with the attendees of the in-person edition before it happened. So we, when people bought their ticket, we asked them if they would agree to participate to a live on Instagram to share their experience, how they became food photographers. We thought that it's always interesting to hear about how people became food photographers, how they discover this job, and also they share why they are excited to participate to the summit. So it's something that worked. And so the lives, and also food photography challenges. It's something we do maybe two to three times a year. It helps us to build our mailing list, but also our audience on Instagram.
I love it. Now, if anybody is tuning in and they're like, I'm really interested in coming to this event, when is it taking place? Where is it taking place? What can they expect? Who are the speakers? Please do share.
Super. So the Food Photography Summit will take place in Paris on the 15th of March, 2024. In this summit, so during the day, we will have 7 different themes and presentations with Aimé Twigger, with Lauren Karras Short, with Kimberly, with the Pineapple Chef, Elise Dumas, with also Les Paris de Laura, and with Sandrine Rubens and Vincent Penalba, two agents working in communication and marketing agencies in Paris. Melanie, if you'd like to add more information.
Yes, it's also Julien Aprouzede who will do a practical demonstration about artificial lighting. So there will be theoretical presentations, but also practical demonstrations, such as the one you will be doing, Kimberly, on food styling. And there will be a lot of time during the day where people will be able to meet other people, to talk to each other. It's really important for us to have those moments. We have also the opportunity to ask questions all day long to each speakers.
I'll be there. I'll be mingling and chatting, and I'll be available to anyone who wants to come and say hello and hang out with me after my food styling presentation. So if you would like to attend and come and hang out with me, Maciel, and Melanie, you can find details to the summit in the show notes, a link there. And do you also have a special offer for the listeners?
Yes, we offer them 10% discount on their ticket with the code EatCaptureShare.
Amazing. So I'll pop all of that in the show notes. And yes, I'm super excited for it. It's my first time doing a summit, live summit. Yeah. So I've done, you know, I was the one you mentioned was with Jenna, the online one, where I've been a speaker a couple of times, 3 times, in fact. But this is my first in-person summit. So I'm very excited for it. And yeah, excited about
Me
Paris
too.
As well. So it's going
to be wait.
I'll put everything in the show notes for people to check out, including links to both your Instagrams and then also the Instagram of the summit. So if people have questions, they can check it out via you. And we didn't say this, but I wanted to stress it, that it is bilingual. So it's not just for French speakers, you know, myself. And I think one or two others will be doing their presentation in English. So there's lots there for everybody to get stuck into. Now, Maciel and Melanie, I think you listen to the podcast. I'm not 100% sure, but if you do, you know that I end the podcast always by asking my guests what their most favorite thing to eat, what their most favorite thing to capture, and what their most favorite thing to share is. And I'd love to hear your answers to those questions.
I'll start. Okay.
Go for it.
My favorite thing to eat is chocolate chip cookies.
Nice.
It's always a good thing, no matter what time is it.
For sure.
My favorite thing to share, to capture, is probably beverage, all kind of beverage, hot drinks or cold drinks, cocktails, etc. I love because you can play with light, colors, and also it's easy to do action shots, and I love action shots. And lastly, things to share is probably my passion for food photography. That's why we've created the summit, and that's why I teach food photography. I love talking about food photography and sharing everything I know about it. So,
great. Thank you. Thank you so much.
From my part, the most favorite thing to eat is a lemon pie. I love lemon pies.
Nice.
I'd love to capture food wrath. Wrath is composed by any type of food and also for any type of theme. For example, I used to have Christmas wreath, Valentine's wreath, etc., that you can find on my Instagram page or my blog. And a favorite thing to share is my motto in life: whenever you want something, you can do it. It's all about the will to do something.
I love it. Thank you both so much. It's been lots of fun, very informative too, and cannot wait to meet both of you in person, because I've not met either one of you in person yet.
Yeah,
so I really look forward to it. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Kimberly, so much.
for everything and anything mentioned in today's podcast episode, including details and tickets for the Paris workshop, where I will be teaching a session on food styling. Please head to the show notes for more information. If you'd like to find out more about Melanie and Maciel and connect with them on Instagram, you can also find that in the show notes. In addition to that, you'll find details for the London workshop, my Reels online course, Magic Mind, basically everything and anything that we touched on today will be in the show notes. And then from here, I shall be back in approximately 2 weeks' time. Same time, same place, with another interview-based episode that I think you'll really, really love. So hope to connect with you then and stay well. Before I leave you, I wanted to say thank you so, so much for tuning in. I hope you enjoy the podcast. I also wanted to let you know that this podcast was brought to you by my Eat, Capture, Share newsletter community, and I'd love for you to join. I will pop the details on how you can join my creative community in the show notes, so do go and check it out. Also, if you enjoy the podcast, it means so much if you can rate, review, and subscribe. All those things will help the podcast to grow and to reach the right audience. You'd kind of make my day. All right, see you soon. Take care.